Hey everybody, welcome to The Lawyer's Daughter. It's Jennifer Carroll, and it is Thursday at 2:13 p.m. I'm unfortunately a few minutes ahead of the information that's going to come out of the public information officer's office at 3 p.m. about what's happening on Monday. So I'm going to go be visiting victim number one in a few minutes because she's recovering from surgery and I want to see her. So I won't be able to do it real time. So I wanted to catch up with some housekeeping stuff real quick and to share a couple other really cool things just that I want to share. And then I'll do more podcasting, obviously, over the weekend. There's just a lot going on. I feel like my life is running at warp speed and I'm moving slower than a turtle. So to give some background on what's happening, of course, you know, we watched the HBO screener on the weekend. Those of us that are in it got to see it. So in just a minute, I'll tell you a little bit more about that. I want to make sure you know that the trial is supposed to be streaming on Monday, and I'm posting the link that I have. I will continue to share that. I'll go put it on jcarroll.com probably tomorrow morning. I'll make sure that that's available. If anybody gets lost, just go to jcarroll.com. Another housekeeping is I'm going to host a Zoom. We did this before, and it was actually, for me, it was the most wonderful thing. I enjoyed it so much, seeing all of you. I'm going to host a Zoom on Tuesday. The information to register for that Zoom is at jcarroll.com. If you're hearing this after the hearing, all these recordings I post to both the podcast and to the YouTube channel, Lawyer's Daughter YouTube channel. So you can go see. The Zoom is worth watching because you can see people. I mean, I don't know how much worth it is to watch, but I can't even speak. Look at me. But it's fun. I think it's fun to see everybody because I have the best followers ever. I swear to God, I tell the press this all the time. I'm like, no, you don't understand. My followers are special. They're different. They really get me and they really get what's going on here. So there you go. I often sing your praises. So if you want to register for the Zoom, go to jcarroll.com. Or lawyersdaughter.com. They're the same place. And then if you want to see any of the recordings, that's on YouTube. I've got Lawyer's Daughter on YouTube. And then of course the podcast, which I just replicate everything audio-wise on the podcast. If there's more announcements, I'll probably mostly be tweeting them. I do have a Lawyer's Daughter Facebook page. I don't love Facebook, but it's a reasonable place to post this kind of stuff. So anything I have, I'll make sure I just mirror it there as well. And I think the links to the Zoom registration are on there right now as well. That's been my intention. So you can follow that too for breaking news. I plan to take my phone. They usually make us turn it off in court. We won't be in court. We'll be in a, I don't know what. We'll find out in 45 minutes. But I plan to take my phone with me on Monday as well. And if I can tweet, I will. But you'll be seeing it on streaming if you're into it. And if you're not into it, God love you. Have a life. And then join us on the flip side, on the back end. Because I personally right now wish I could have a life. I wrote a tweet earlier this week, and I was motivated by all the voices that are coming out right now about the case. You know, there's so many. James Huddle's book's coming out, and I hope to get an interview with him. I'm still pursuing that. I'm super interested in talking to him. I've actually heard great things about him, so I'm a little bit excited now. Before I was, you know, a little bit, what is this? I don't know how to conjugate trepidation into a word. But I was a little worried about it, but I feel a lot better about it now, and I'm hoping that he'll agree to talk with me. So I'll know more about that soon, but if you're looking at the James Huddle book, and if you don't know about the James Huddle book, and now I've done an advertisement for the James Huddle book, I feel pretty confident about putting that out there and giving the green light from my point of view on his book. It is self-published. It is because he wanted it his way, as I understand, and I think that's also fair, because Lord knows that's been me. So he and I might have more in common than I realized. Let's see. The HBO show begins Sunday night. We saw the screener on the weekend. There were things in there that I didn't expect to see. They had warned us. I found them incredibly, incredibly difficult to see and hear. And so it has been a hard week. I needed to actually, one thing I didn't think was true. So I actually spent the last 3 days fact checking it, which is why I tweeted last night that I learned things about the murder I'd never known before. It's not really where I wanted to go with it. I said I was going to read this tweet. I will. But I just wanted to let you know that I'm just trying to make sure what's in there is accurate. And so I've been pursuing that. Otherwise, the show is what it's absolutely worth watching. I mean, if you want to watch it, watch it. That's you know, this is an HBO thing, and it looks like they really stuck to that. It's well aligned with the book. I have not read the book back to front. I listened to it on Audible, so I had a different experience. I guess it is different when you listen to it on Audible. But from everyone I know who knows the book really well, they've said it's true to the book. So that's very reassuring. And let's see. And so, but here's the thing. With all the voices out there, I believe it's everybody's responsibility, not just for this crime, but for anything you do, to really have to have a critical eye and to be thoughtful about who you're listening to and to be clear about what their motivations are and their point of view and all of that. So I had found this fascinating article in The Atlantic. It's called The Burden of Being Part of History. And some of you guys have heard me say this before. I've always, always thought of Lacey Peterson's mom. And here's why. Because it's happened to me. What typically happens is people decide to publish one of their annual horrible things that have happened to humans episode. And I think because Lacey, fully pregnant, is so frickin' adorable and such a marketing attraction that they put her on the cover of their magazine. And so I've always imagined Lacey's mom, years after this has happened, living her life. We have a way we put this thing to bed in our minds so that we can function. And then she goes to buy bread and milk, and there's this picture of Lacey on the cover of a magazine for no good reason, and she's knocked over. That's when I go, you know what? That was unnecessary. That's when the motivation was to make money, and you just knocked over Lacey's mom, and she really didn't need to deal with this. I totally relate to that so hard. And I think of it, I always call it a Lacey Peterson moment when I just get caught off guard about hearing something that I didn't expect to hear. So it is a burden to be a part of history. So I wrote this tweet, and it's a thread, and it really came from my really finding this article fascinating. Again, it's in The Atlantic, and it has a lot to do with Black Lives Matter and all sorts of other things, but there was a thesis in it that I really liked. So here we go. Human motivation has a darkness at its core. Being outraged feels good. Having an enemy feels better. And having a scapegoat always helps. This is aided considerably by the democratization of information. As Peter Pomerantsev put it, nothing is true and everything is possible. So you get the thesis is really that we want to feel outraged. We love having an enemy. And if we can blame somebody, it's even better. And as a offshoot of that, we get this idea that nothing is true and everything is possible. Because of course, once the message starts to get owned by more people than the people who first owned the message, it can start to morph. So I kept going. In the context of where I am sitting in this hot mess of a trial for one of the biggest criminals in California history, quote, this resonates. I am both the recipient of this kind of motivation from others who've owned the narrative to make money or gain fame, and I'm responsible for doing the same. My storytelling came from the need to get our story out with as much accuracy as possible to provide both a path for my personal healing as well as an oral history to capture this weird time. Just so you know, I often think of my nephews, Katie, any kids she has. There's not going to be a lot of oral history on this stuff because we're not even having a trial. Now on the precipice of what will be a media frenzy as the HBO blitz commences in concert with next week's hearing, the idea of nothing is true and everything is possible is important to keep in mind. Y'all are going to hear so many people tell our story. Their motivations are legion. My followers have always been amazing, thoughtful, empathetic, insightful, and supportive. My humble ask is please remember that more than 100 families have been personally affected by Joseph DeAngelo. He is not a hero and he is not the star. He is a horrible human being who stole something from all of us. There are heroes in this story. As usual, they aren't the ones getting the attention. Of course, that's consistent with who they are, dedicated, victim-focused, hardworking. And then there's all the noise. True crime carpetbaggers who move in because there's money to be made, and that's on us because we consume it. And I say we because I consume it too. So here's my ask for my wonderful followers. Consume the content, of course, but if possible, considering adopting this mindset as you do. Ask yourself as you consume, can I trust the source? What is the motivation for telling us this? What is being left out and why? What things am I seeing that don't make sense? Is this behavior, rationalization, or explanation acceptable? What does the storyteller want you to believe and why? I have press from around the world reaching out. I'm pretty overwhelmed by just focusing on the 29th. This is going to be a rough ride, but I'm trying hard to think before I speak. Partly because I'm part of the mix, right? I'm so tired of being outraged. Honestly, I'm exhausted. I'm clear the enemy is D'Angelo. And in this story, there is no scapegoat. In this story, no matter all of the crap being told about it, the crimes are true. Absolutely. Even those who aren't officially part of the record, are still included. The truth belongs to those of us who lived through it, from Exeter to Visalia to Sacramento to San Joaquin, Contra Costa, Santa Barbara, Ventura, Orange County, and beyond. There is a burden to being part of history, but there's also a responsibility and a promise. The responsibility is for us to always seek the truth, and the promise is we can come together to make things better. So that was my big speech because I was just really feeling the weight of it all, and y'all are so good at staying with me on this stuff. So I wanted to make sure that you just had the right context for consuming what's going to be a bunch of information in the next few days. I mean, there's just going to be tons. Then there's going to be a drip of information over the summer till we get to sentencing, where we then have the witness impact statements, which will be powerful. And oh my God, I'm going to really need to be fortified, but it's going to be a big deal. So I wanted to share that with you because I wanted you just to keep that in mind. I'm not so worried about, again, like I said, you guys are amazing. So I'm not so worried about you. You are critical thinkers. I've experienced that on Facebook and on Twitter, the folks that I deal with. And it's one of the reasons I left Reddit. Honestly, that wasn't critical thinking. That was just people being mean and nasty. My experience on Twitter and on Facebook have been people being remarkably kind, thoughtful, and still critically thinking. You have to. If you come up with something crazy, I don't care. I'm open to that. But I just want to know that you're doing it from the right place. That's what matters to me, is that you're doing it in an effort to relieve the burden for the victims and the survivors and to uncover the truth, which we may not ever get all of the truth. I mean, that's probably going to be the saddest part in all of this. So it's going to be up to us to reconstruct the story. And as you know, I've opened up this podcast. Anybody wants to talk, reach out. We're going to book that because I want to talk. I want to get as much recorded as possible. Even if you aren't an official charge, even if you saw him come to your home in the late 80s, let's get this. Let's get it recorded. So I'm up for that. The other thing that I wanted to share with you, because it shifts things a lot. I mean, I could kiss Stacy Scott for this. So Stacy Scott is the paranormal investigator and psychic that I spoke to in this podcast a while back, maybe in May. And you can go find hers. It was a really good interview. I mean, I delighted in it. So, and she also will help people cold cases essentially for no charge. So she's worth looking into if you're pursuing your own cold case. But I asked her, I told her, I think I need a reading because I was struggling with wondering about my dead people and how they were doing and how do I mean, I feel like I have this is the woo-woo. Have I told you this is the woo-woo portion of the podcast? I'm from Santa Cruz. I believe in spirit. So there you go. So, and I really do believe my dad is right here with me, like just right here. I do, and I also still believe Charlene's still struggling. So there you go. But I wanted Stacy to let me know what she was getting about what was coming up. So the question that she answered was, the question I asked is, do you think my dead people will show up? So that for me, that would be my dad, Charlene, potentially my dad's father, his dad. I don't know that I have a lot of other, there could be other dead people, but for me, that's kind of my squad. So she sent me this message back that I have to say kind of blew my mind because it shifted my energy for Monday. And so maybe this will shift yours too, or at a minimum, maybe you just might find this delightful and entertaining. So I will now share this with you. Here's what she came back with to me. First thing, while I was meditating, pre-reading, I immediately got really hot and nauseated. This is a sign that not only are Charlene and your dad will be present, but everyone, she had that in all caps, all of his victims, that room will be packed. You and anyone else allowed to be there physically will feel that energy without a doubt. I also wouldn't be surprised, you're going to like this, if there's not some manifested aggression towards D'Angelo. He stumbles, trips, feels, or gets sick, appears to be pushed by an invisible force, etc. So just, I have to tell you, I shared that part with Janelle's sister, Shelly Cruz, and she goes, oh, that'll be Janelle. Janelle will be the one that gives him a shove. And I'm like, yeah, my dad's more likely to do some other kind of hijinks. So just in case you see D'Angelo trip, just know that's Janelle. We've already called her out and told her to be ready to do that. So we're right there. Okay, then she goes on and she says, don't be surprised if there's another type of physical manifestation, a fire alarm going off, a light bulb blinking or going out with a pop, lots of other unexplainable noises in the room, video cameras going on the blink, etc. Okay, that would be my dad. My dad would be all about hijinks. So I just thought, this is awesome because now I have something else to pay attention to during this day instead of singularly focusing all the doom and horribleness that happened. So everybody will be with me. You know, if I hear something like this, I'm going to tweet it because that's fun. And that makes it, and that feels victorious for the victim. So I really like that. Then she goes on, I didn't see any specific messages from your dad, except for the usual, I'm so proud of you, honey, which is weird because that actually wasn't that usual, but I feel like it has been lately. I feel like he is proud of me lately, but he did show me something odd. And I don't have an explanation for this, you guys. It's a necklace, a male's necklace with a lion or some other sign of the zodiac. It has a thicker chain and the lion is hanging down. The moon just went into Leo, so maybe it's a sign regarding about being self-confident, proud, big-hearted, loyal, loving. She also picked up on Aries energy, which in my world doesn't surprise me because both Lyman and Charlene are Aries or were Aries. I guess they were Aries, or still are Aries. I mean, it didn't change the fact that they are Aries. Anyway, whoever is this Aries energy, it's Aries energy. It doesn't necessarily mean it's Lyman and Charlene, but whoever that is playing a very important role, especially in relationship to the hearing. So there's probably someone out there with that Aries energy. And then she said there were many fire references in this reading. She pulled an oracle card, and it was the Fire Prince. That card gives out the message of optimism and circumstances coming together as if by magic to create the best outcome. It also warns of unbridled aggression and burnout. So she told me, I need to rest. Boy, do I feel that. I feel like I have burnout. You're going to burn out if you keep up this pace and you won't have energy left for the other areas of your life. Oh, yeah, that's already happened. For sure, I do not have energy for the other things in my life. Okay, then she pulled 3 tarot cards. And I hope this recording's still working, you guys. It looks like something might be weird on the recording, so hopefully it's still okay. She pulled out 3 tarot cards, and what she did is she got the Devil card, D'Angelo. Can you believe the Devil card came up? And then the sun was breaking out behind the clouds of a 3 of swords, which indicates a positive ending to the horrific experience. Oh, I'm sorry. The other one was grief and sorrow. So it is really interesting that she got these cards. But I thought the fact that the Devil card showed up, I'm like, God, do we always have to be so on point? All right. I'm going to wrap up for right now. I just wanted to give you guys a quick update. I'll have more shortly, soon. And I thank you again for all the support. And I will talk to you maybe to Friday or Saturday. For sure, I'll catch you guys up on what's going on.